Now we have someone who is an expert in transportation. His name is Brian Lindell. He's currently the transportation sourcing manager and is responsible for strategic negotiations with all external transportation providers. Brian has nearly 15 years of supply chain experience within freight forwarding, retail, and oil and gas organizations. In these roles, he has developed and aided in an overall global sourcing strategy for procurement logistics and has a proven track record in cost reduction and increased company efficiency. He graduated from Baylor University in 2006 with a degree in business administration and corporate communications. Brian is here today to talk about the changing landscape of transportation. Help me welcome Brian Lindell. Brian.
As Sydney said, I'm Brian Lindell. I'm the transportation sourcing manager. My main role is carrier relationships and strategic negotiations with those carriers. So full truckload, flatbed, van, LTL, all modes of transportation. If it's got wheels and it moves, we're responsible for it. So as Sydney said, I'm going to give you some information about the transportation industry. So I need you to imagine a world without trucks. What does that world look like? So picture the first 24 hours without trucks. First off, hospitals, pharmacies, and doctor's offices run low on critical supplies for their patients. So those prescription drugs remain relatively low. Also, next, long lines start to form at all major gas stations across the nation. If anybody remembers the 1973 oil crisis, prices quadrupled from $3 a barrel to $12 a barrel. So in today's terms, that would be almost paying $8 per gallon for gasoline. And last, mail and delivery package services cease. So that's FedEx, Amazon, UPS, Postal Service. Okay, so now fast forward another 3 days. What does that look like? Grocery stores and other restaurants start to run out of fresh food. So if anybody's been a part of a natural disaster like a blizzard or a hurricane, you know that a lot of people make a mad rush for those stores and the shelves are barren afterwards. Also, mad rushes on banks and ATMs as well, so there's no cash in the market as well. Also, garbage collection ceases as well, so that garbage starts to pile up in the communities and has nowhere to go. And actually, lastly, gas stations run completely out of fuel within those first 3 days. So within 1 week, that lack of fuel would cause motor transportation to cease, which includes police, fire, emergency services that would provide unable to provide assistance to anyone in need. So I think it's pretty much safe to say that a world without trucks would be catastrophic. So now that we know so much is moved by truck, 70% of all cargo in the United States is actually moved by truck. An approximate value of that material is $720 billion. Now, to move all that cargo requires a lot of effort. There are over 500,000 different trucking companies within the United States, and 80% of those are considered small businesses with 6 trucks or less. We actually manage 160 different trucking companies across the entire network. So we use large national providers, which has about 2,000 to 1,000 trucks in their fleet, medium, mid-sized carriers from 1,000 to about 500 trucks, and then we use small local delivery companies, which are in that 6 trucks or less type mode. So with all those trucking companies, how many trucks are in the United States? It's 15.5 million trucks in the United States. And that's enough if you stacked them from here to the moon. And I think that's a lot of trucks. But what is the most important thing about trucking? The driver. Did you know that there are 3.5 million heavy haul truck drivers, over the road truck drivers in the United States? And the average age of that truck driver is 55 years old and growing. And that's a problem in and of itself, and I'll get into a little bit later. You might not think it, but some truck drivers work long and interesting hours. The average work week for a truck driver is 60 hours a week. And they work nights, weekends, and holidays to make sure that the freight is delivered on time most of the time. So my last question, has anybody ever wondered what the deadliest job is in the United States? Is it a steel worker, crab fisherman, matador, firefighter, truck driver? If you said truck driver, you'd be wrong, but also right. Actually, loggers have the highest percentage of fatalities within their profession. But truck drivers actually have the highest total number of fatalities in their occupation. And actually, driving a truck is 9 times more deadly than being a police officer in the United States. So now that we know trucking is how important trucking is in today's world, how did we get here? So this is up for some debate, but in my opinion, trucking actually got started with the Federal Highway Act of 1944, which established the construction and of the national highway systems enacted by Congress to start the process of designing and constructing the national highways. But ironically, Congress never funded it. So government leaders somewhat rectified the situation 8 years later with the Federal Aid Highway Act of 1952. Unfortunately, Congress only funded $25 million towards the project, thus it was tragically underfunded. Yet visionary himself, Dwight Eisenhower, pushed the Federal Highway Act of 1956 and fully funded it and expanded the national highway network and made it to the interstate system we all know and use today. By the mid-late 1970s, trucking actually became glamorous. The open road, freedom, and great pay were actually driving workers towards this profession. Movies like Smokey and the Bandit became pop culture sensations and were even a bigger influence on people getting into trucking. And by 1980, partial deregulation occurred with the Motor Carrier Act of 1980, signed by President Carter. And the main concept of this act was, one, it eased many restrictions for people to get into starting a trucking company. And as you can see, we have over 500,000 trucking companies today. And two, it actually allowed those carriers to charge their own rates and not be regulated by the government. Three, it deregulated routes and zones. So now a carrier that was relegated to being into one zone could now operate nationwide. And lastly, eliminated the types of commodities restricted being able to ship. So if you were only able to hold construction materials, you were now open to use other materials on your truck. But without a doubt, as I mentioned, the most affected and important piece of the trucking industry is the driver. And unfortunately, the view of that driver has changed over the years. So now there is a social stigma about being a truck driver, and it's decreasing the amount of applicants and entrants into the field. So the social stigma of a truck driver is viewed as unskilled and uneducated. So many young persons are not going into the profession because they feel that it's an undesirable and underappreciated type of occupation. And with that, also there's, in the back of their minds, is a view of automation. Driverless trucks is a hot issue in the industry. And a lot of young people think, well, if my job is going to be eliminated in the next few years, why would I want to get into trucking? Also, the lifestyle of a truck driver. As I mentioned before, they work 60 hours a week. They work nights, weekends, holidays, and they can be on the road for days, weeks at a time. And that's just not ideal for a lot of people these days. So other alternatives to truck driving are those local delivery drivers, like the Amazons, the FedEx, the UPSs of the world, where they can make their deliveries during the day and be home with their families at night and on the weekends. Also, an issue with current truck driving is the pay. The average truck driver makes about $43,000 a year. While that's still a good salary, there are alternatives to boost pay for those types of people. They want construction, manufacturing, or oil field types of jobs, which pay just a little bit more and entice them to go into those types of fields. In the heyday in Lubbock, Texas, or Midland, Texas, you could go into the oil field and be making 60, 80, 100 grand. So compared to that, to the 43 for a truck, it's pretty much a no-brainer, and there's the loss of talent driving trucks. Also, as we mentioned, flatbed delivery trucks versus van, and vans are those ones that are making your deliveries to your Kroger's or the retail stores like Walmart. And speaking of Walmart, the average pay for a truck driver for Walmart is $87,000. So compare to that with the industry average around 43. But anyway, as being a delivery driver, a van driver for like a Kroger or a Walmart, you basically drive your truck back into a dock and a warehouse worker rolls in with a forklift and unloads the freight, and then you're on your way. But a flatbed driver, as you know, has to get up on the flatbed, pull that 400-pound tarp over the load, and strap it down. And they have to do it in all types of weather conditions, whether it's snow, sleet, rain, 100-degree weather, it doesn't matter. So that's also a problem in our small segment of our construction industry, is that it's less desirable than those other types of jobs. And then also, if you've been affected by the technology and government regulations with these truck drivers, the electronic logging devices regulating how many hours they can drive in a single day, onboard cameras, GPS tracking. A lot of the older drivers in the industry, as I mentioned, 55 years of age and older, don't really necessarily understand or like the technology being in place. They feel, from what we've heard, is a lot of it is a big brother type feel, where the government or their boss is watching them all the time, and if they're unable to make a mistake, then they're going to be blamed for it based on the camera technology. So now we know what happened then. Let's take a look at the past couple of years and what happened in the trucking industry and how it became very chaotic. So it all started with the presidential elections in 2016, as many of you all know. There was a big wait-and-see type of feel in the industry in terms of business on what was going to happen. And until the outcome of that election, a lot of companies were just kind of waiting around. And once the decision was, once the election results were announced, then the business economic activity for 2017 became actually a lot more favorable and had a lot less pessimism of increased government regulation. So now on the chart, it's a transportation trucking index. At the bottom line, as you can see, the purple line is 2016, which is a normal business cycle of about 10. And then in 2017, it doubled to nearly about 20. So with the regular, with going out throughout the year, it was a typical business cycle that followed 2016, followed about 2017, until the fall, September of 2017, with hurricanes Harvey, Irma, and Maria. Now, this was significant because it was a double whammy on the industry in terms of trucking. So government intervention, bringing FEMA, bringing in relief effort, rebuilding supplies for those affected zones, actually paid third-party trucking companies $8 to $10 per mile to transport freight. Now, taking that into consideration, which is a typical freight rate back then was around $1.50 to maybe $2, depending on location. So the government came in and artificially inflated the market 4 or 5 times what it was really worth. So one, we saw an increase in freight rates due to that, but then also two, the capacity was effectively removed from certain areas due to those trucking companies leaving their geographic locations to go haul relief freight. So somebody in the middle of Iowa or somewhere on the West Coast, they actually took their truck to Texas and Florida to haul for the FEMA rates. So the freight that was effectively left in those zones, shippers were fighting and paying to pay those truck drivers that remained for their services. So the hurricanes were actually the springboard into 2018. So riding the waves of those hurricanes, economic activity increased to the tune of about 30% on the open market in terms of demand and pricing. The truck capacity was effectively removed, as I mentioned, and the truck driver shortage continued. So this metric that we use is the load-to-truck ratio. Basically, the load-to-truck ratio is a snapshot in time of how many trucks are available and how much freight is available and ready to go. So as I mentioned, in a normal market, it's between 10 and 20. So if that's the case, there are 10 or 20 shipments ready to be shipped to a job site, ready to go, and there's only one truck available. So that truck has the option of choosing within one of those 20 types of shipments. In 2018, that number shot up to 111 to 1. So now one truck had 111 different shipments to choose from on which they wanted to pick and which they wanted to deliver. Now, it could be based on pricing, or it could be based on ease of the freight. Does it require a tarp? Sometimes, as you know, truck drivers don't want to tarp loads. So if it was a tarped load, they would just decline it. Even if the price was paid double, they could still decline it. So there was a lot of competition out there in the market last year, which was definitely disadvantageous to our business. Also within last year, transportation-related expenses, as I mentioned, skyrocketed, right? Over 150 of the Fortune 500 companies missed earnings forecasts due to transportation-related expenses because their budgets doubled or sometimes tripled. And that was a huge hit for those companies on their bottom line. So we all know what happened then, but what's going on today? So we use a few economic indicators to gauge the health of the economy right now. One of them is a manufacturing index that we use, and as of today, it remains steady and in growth mode. Residential construction numbers remain flat, while housing has actually taken a small decline in housing sales. But other good indicators that we look at, consumer retail sales are very strong, along with high job openings, which is low unemployment, and also the stability in the oil and energy markets makes for a favorable 2019. So looking to the future, as I mentioned, government regulation has a major impact on drivers entering and exiting the marketplace. So some pending regulation that we have on the horizon are good and bad. One of the good ones is hours of service reform. Hours of service reform is expected in late 2019 and is possible as early next year for additional time due to adverse driving conditions. Now, adverse driving conditions are what you think they are, weather, traffic. So as I mentioned, truck drivers get paid per mile, not per hour. So the distance between two points, they're going to get paid a set amount of money, and they've only got a certain amount of time, a certain window, 11 hours of drive time to meet that delivery. So this proposal would allow an extra amount of time based on those types of adverse driving conditions. Also on the horizon is Drug and Alcohol Testing Clearinghouse, a database. So this is a nationwide system for implementing drug and alcohol testing, and it's a database for relaying that information across government agencies. One analysis shows that this rule, if it takes into effect, would require the industry to add an additional 1,400 drivers by 2020, because 14,000 drivers would be needed because they would become ineligible due to the results of the drug and alcohol testing. So also, there's an entry-level CDL training course that's being proposed, which is a federal requirement that all new drivers, not current drivers, must pass a federally mandated driver safety course. As it is today, no formal training is required to drive a truck. As long as you have a CDL, a driver can go buy a truck and start delivering freight without any safety or driving standards. So another analysis shows that if this rule would take into effect, it would eliminate about 2,000 drivers that would be needed by the additional year. And lastly, which is a positive for our industry, is the Drive Safe Act. Today, a federal requirement requires all truck drivers to be 21 years of age, and this could reduce that number to 18 years of age. And if this act goes through, that would be an additional 48,000 drivers into the marketplace, which would help the supply side. This bill is expected to be reintroduced in the next few months, and this is also very significant because the driver shortage, most people that are interested in driving a truck, let's say out of high school, would have to wait 3 years to get into trucking. But by that time, no person's going to be waiting around 3 years for a job opening in trucking. They're going to go off into other occupations, whether it's construction, manufacturing, oil and gas. They're just not going to be there. So hopefully this will help alleviate some of that problem and give some career aspects and prospects to these people. Now the fun stuff. So the future of trucking, everyone always wants to talk about autonomous vehicles and electric vehicles. So in terms of an autonomous vehicle, there are five different levels of autonomy. One is radar guided, like a proximity control, cruise control, lane departure control or guidance, self-driving at low speeds, self-driving at high speeds, and in a fully autonomous vehicle, there's no need even to have a seat in the vehicle. It's just basically a robot drone. So one and two levels of autonomy are actually active and in use today. You could go buy a new model Cadillac and have that radar-guided cruise control as an option for you, also with the lane departure, blind spot monitoring, things of that nature. So that's active and already in use today. Self-driving at low and high speeds, while it's available, the most common is the autopilot from Tesla. It's not widespread, not mainstream, and they're still tweaking the technology today. And the technology is assumed to be fully operational within the next 5 to 10 years. And then full autonomous driving, as I mentioned, is expected to be in the 15 to 20 year line. So electric vehicles. So electric vehicles, like autonomous ones, are still being developed, and over 160 different corporations and companies are actually developing the technology for both right now. So that counts autonomous vehicles, electric vehicles, and the combination of the two. Their goals are pretty quite simple, to increase the battery life and the performance of these types of vehicles. A passenger car versus a truck, different types of technology would be required. But the interesting thing about autonomous vehicles and electric vehicles together can be game changers, and it just wouldn't be in terms of transportation, but the freight industry as a whole. So the break-even point for most freight shipments is about 550 miles, and that's determining whether you put your freight on a truck or a train. Now, these are definitely, you know, static lanes that we're talking about here. So if electric truck became autonomous electric truck became available, that break-even point would drive costs down so low because it would remove the driver and it would remove the fuel costs that the rail might actually not be necessary or obsolete. And it would actually be faster and cheaper to place that material on one of these types of vehicles than the rail. And actually that break-even point would shift from 550 miles to about 2,000 miles where your break-even point is, which is basically could cover the entire country. So that's long-term future of the industry. But what's going to happen next year? What can we really expect? So there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is that the overall economy is still growing. Many analysts from Goldman Sachs to JP Morgan predict a 2.3 to 2.7 growth rate in the overall U.S. economy. While it's nowhere near 2018 in terms of a 4% growth rate, it's still considered a healthy rate of growth. Some extreme views have mentioned recession, but most are still sticking to that 2% growth rate. And as the analogy goes, the plane's just coming in for a landing, it's not crashing. So stability within the energy markets is also very comforting for us. U.S. diesel prices per gallon, directly affected by the global and international oil markets, are expected to stabilize through the year, which one could assume makes prices relatively flat. So another interesting predictor that we use here for economic growth is new truck order activity. So this is basically how many trucks are being ordered and when they're being ordered. So tracked from the most recent presidential election, we can see a steady increase in new truck manufacturing orders, showing great optimism for the freight industry as a whole and the types of transportation vehicles that are needed. Yet in 2019, there's been a steep decline already from the height of 2018, and so now we're back to a more modest, typical business cycle in terms of truck order activity, which reinforces our belief that the economy is just cooling. Okay, so now on to some bad news. The truck capacity and pricing model. Well, as I mentioned, it's simple economics. The economic drivers for us on the demand side is the U.S. economy, and the truck driver shortage or the unavailability of truck drivers is the supply function of this equation. The truck driver shortage reached an all-time high, a negative number of 300,000 drivers in 2017 and 2018. So that was one reason why it was so hard to move freight in those years. There just wasn't enough drivers out there. Sure, there was trucks, but no one to drive them. So today, we're currently sitting around 230,000 drivers negative. But more drivers are actually coming back into trucking because of the past few years, and the wages have increased. So based on what you heard, the last question is probably what is it doing to position themselves for 2019? Supply chain is being revamped with new initiatives and a higher visibility and importance than ever before. More money is being spent on system enhancements in 1 year than have been spent in the past 10. There are more new initiatives currently being implemented today than ever before, which is going to add to the overall customer delivery experience. Thank you.